right, folks, how you doing? This is about the man, Max Roach. Oh, yeah. Now, in the previous segment, we ended talking about the 1958 concert at Newport with Dinah Washington. We're going to start with that because I always like to dig into the music when I'm doing my research. I like to read and do the study and figure out these guys' lives and what makes them tick. But I also like to listen to the music because that gives me the essence of their soul. So this morning I was actually listening to a clip on YouTube, it's there, of Dinah Washington, 1958 Newport. And of course, Max is back there and he's just cool, Max. Making that groove happen, baby. And Dinah's doing her thing, singing and sashaying. And it is so infectious that people in the audience are standing up, swing dancing, baby. You would have thought they were at the Roseland Ballroom or the Savoy or something. People are dancing, having a good time. Because remember, this music started with the dance. Oh, yeah. And Max and Dinah brought that thing there. You want to go check out 1958 Newport, Dinah Washington. With Brother Max Roach and a tremendous band backing her up. Now, in 1960, he met and started courting a jazz singer. I think they may have had some musical collaborations. And those musical collaborations morphed into some romantic collaborations. And in 1962, he married her. And another change took place. But you see, 1960s is the beginning, the height, really, of the civil rights movement. And Abby Lincoln not only was a great jazz singer, she was an outspoken advocate of civil rights, of racial justice, of an end to police brutality and all those things decades before it became in vogue for Black Lives Matter. She was all on that thing back in the 60s. And of course, happy wife, happy life, Max became a little more outspoken about the racial issues that had always been in his heart. Because remember, he talked about how in 1938, while still in public school, he had a black history teacher. What a rare thing, someone teaching black history. Yeah, in an all black school in up north. Yeah, that's what was happening. So Max always had that in him, but Abby brought it out. One of the albums that he did during this period that really made it very clear, it says, "We insist freedom now." Yeah, that was powerful, especially someone talking like that on an album cover in 1960. Ooh, go, Max. That continued to work real well for him. He and Abby did some things together. His advocacy grew and grew and grew and grew. And then tragedy struck in 1966. The great Bud Powell finally succumbed to his demons and died penniless in New York. His family refused to claim the body. If you remember, Richie Powell was his younger brother, and Richie had been killed in the car accident with Clifford Brown back in the late 50s. So the family had enough tragedy, and they refused to claim the body. And Max went and took legal action to take possession of that body. Not only that, he organized a New Orleans-style parade right through Harlem on the back of a jazz mobile. These were portable vehicles they used all over Harlem to bring live jazz in the community at a point when jazz was beginning to die out just a little bit with the advent of rock and roll and Woodstock and all that stuff. Jazz mobile, man. Live band on the back of a jazz mobile driving through your neighborhood, letting you see what's really happening. And Bad Cats owned this jazz mobile too. For this particular funeral parade, he put together a great Barry Harris and a great trumpet player, Lee Morgan, I believe. And they paraded through Harlem playing the compositions of Bud Powell, some 5,000 Harlem natives and visitors to Harlem lined the street to pay a tribute and to say goodbye to Bud Powell, although in the newspaper clippings it was barely a paragraph spoken about him. So Max had a great heart, and he did not mind putting his money where his mouth was. He paid for all of that. And Bud was put away in the kind of style that one of the greatest geniuses in jazz should have had. Thank you, Mr. Max Roach. Max continues to evolve. He's still doing his jazz. He's still doing combo things. He's looking at this. He's looking at this. You remember, he was an educated musician, having gone to Manhattan School of Music and whatnot. In 1970, he organized a percussion ensemble. Not the classical type, but something that was a bit more Afrocentric. And it was called M-Boom. Several percussionists who played various instruments, and every member of M-Boom not only performed, but they composed and arranged for the ensemble. They went out to prove that percussion can stand by itself. We don't need a bass player or a piano player. We can do it all ourselves with our xylophones and marimbas and bells and glockenspiels and timpani and hand drums, and it was just a smorgasbord of unique sounds, all organized by Max Roach. That tradition still exists in New York, in Philly, in Cleveland, in Detroit. There's still, in the black community, these little M-Boom ensembles. In the larger community, these have taken the form of what we call drum circles. But this is an innovation by the one and only Maxwell, Max Roach. Yeah, and he continued to expand his horizons. He started writing for the theater. Yes, he did. Plays, musicals. He started composing for symphony orchestras and doing concerts with the Boston Symphony Orchestra and other fine American institutions. That's right. Oh yeah, he kept playing jazz, but he was not Johnny One Note. He could do all kinds of things, and so he did. He even wrote and performed with modern dance ensembles, including the legendary Alan Ailey Dance Ensemble. Oh yes, he did that too. He traveled all over the world, spreading the good news of percussion and variety in his musical offerings. And the awards kept coming in. University of Bologna, honorary doctorate. Columbia, honorary doctorate. Megan Everett, honorary doctorate. University of Massachusetts at Amherst, honorary doctorate. As a matter of fact, he had always been involved with young people teaching and guiding. University of Massachusetts went, hey, you need to come teach for us. And so for several years, in the 70s, 80s, and up into the 90s, he was a professor at University of Massachusetts at Amherst. And in 1986, he was joined there with the one and only Mr. Yusuf Lateef. I'll be doing a little stuff on Yusuf Lateef later. I'm sure you all probably don't know him. You will, because he's another very bad man. Now, Yusuf had been a great player with Cannonball Adderley and other people in the 60s, but because he was a Muslim, he stopped performing anywhere where there was alcohol, and so that took him off the scene, and people kind of forgot about him. I didn't. I actually met him in Chicago a few years before his death and bought some of his material. He's a great man. But the association between Max Roach and Yusuf Lateef at Amherst yielded and exchanged, not just musically, but spiritually, because when questioned about his spirituality in the 70s, Max Roach admitted that he had been a practicing Muslim for quite a while. And this was probably because of the influence that Yusuf Lateef had on him when they were collaborating at the University of Massachusetts. So there are so many things. Every kind of award, the Modern Drummer Award, Downbeat Awards, anyone who had an award to give, they gave it to Max Roach because he changed the course of percussion. Remember, he started out as a rudimental snare drummer, actually a bugler, so he always had that melodic thing going. Rudimental snare drummer, he went to play in match group because he went to school to study mallets and all of that, and he integrated that into his drumming. Remember, there was a time when drummers always kept the beat with their foot on the bass drum. Max got rid of that. We're gonna give you time. This ride cymbal. We're gonna use this bass drum just for kicks. Boom, 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 boom. We're gonna have that hi-hat on 2 and 4, and we're gonna use the snare drum to accent melody, and so we're gonna have independence of all four limbs. So a lot of cats had to stop playing jazz drums and going to playing R&B because they could not keep up with their independence. Oh yeah. Jazz is sometimes, how shall I say this, a self-cleansing agent. The difficulty of playing all the things you have to do. As Max once said, it is this society and this music that is the only place where a musician is challenged to use all four limbs independently in making music. And Max brought that to us as well. He pretty much, along with Sonny Clark, created modern drumming. Max continued to watch and grow. He even did a thing with Fab Freddy, rapper. What'd I say? Hip hop guy, rapper, yeah. And even had break dancers on the stage. And people like, Max had lost his mind. He done gone with that street jungly music. What's wrong with him? And Max say, it's improvisation. He is rhythmic, and if you open your ears and open your mind, you'll be able to hear Louis Armstrong, Jerry Roll Martin, and King Arbor, and what these young brothers are doing. I can, why can't you? And the break dancing, that is just an extension of the Lindy Hop that we did at Savoy 40, 50 years ago. So I don't understand your problem if you can't keep up with progress, but I can. This is the spirit of Max Roach. Adventurer, innovator, passionate, committed. He died in 2007, and his funeral was at the Riverside Church in New York. 2,000 people show up. One of the things that the vice governor said of New York said is that Max Roach was a very, very brave man. He was compared to Paul Robeson, to Harriet Tubman, to Malcolm X for his commitment to the uplift of his people and for justice for his people in America. Max Roach is one of the greatest figures in the history of jazz, and I am very, very honored to have been able to shine just a little light on the darkness that has surrounded his life all these years. I hope that you've enjoyed this, and I hope even more that you'll go out and listen to Max Roach's music, because no matter what you like, it's out there. Max did it all. Thank you very much.